Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You see, by the titles that I am going to be dealing with mothers, we're going to talk about Mother's Day or talk about mothers and what it means. I want to recognize maybe two groups. If you were a mother of girls only, would you stand? A good number of you. All right, thank you, ladies. If you are the mother of boys only, would you stand? And a good number of you. Well, both. If you want to stand of both, go ahead. But having raised both boys and a girl, I'm not sure which one of you, those two groups at first I feel sorry is for. Or respect most. So whether you have one child or a dozen, whether you have all boys or all girls, or you have that mixture, what should a mother do? That may be, pray may be what you need to do, but I think Scripture is going to say some other things too. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Paul writes to Timothy, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffered these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. In the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." What should mothers do? Mothers should give children a foundation of faith. Give all who come after you something to build their life on. Paul had this special relationship with Timothy. He knew him, he knew his family, he knew his family well. And so here Paul is in prison. And so he had time to think and he had time to pray. And it wasn't that he prayed 24 hours a day, but because of their last time together and the way Timothy had acted and responded when Paul was about to leave, every time Paul began to pray, God laid Timothy on his heart, and he prayed for Timothy. And he said, "Of all the things that I respect about you, Timothy, of all the things that I am thankful for," he said, I am thankful for your sincere, genuine faith, which had been handed down from his grandmother to his mother to the son. And oftentimes, when we think about any church growth, it is biological in nature. Because parents will raise up children who become believers when they see the parent living out that foundation of faith. He goes on, Paul does, to give the basics of this sincere faith in verses 9 and 10. That the that this there is this process, there is this coming to Christ who has saved us according to the power of God. Let me tell you, you were not saved by your own power. You were not saved by your good works. You were saved by the grace of God, the power of God. That you have been called with this holy calling. Let me tell you, you didn't choose Jesus nearly as much as He chose you and allowed you to respond to His calling. We have been chosen. We have been called, who has saved us with that holy calling. But He has done it for His purpose, in His grace, and for His glory. The purpose of salvation, the process of salvation, is a call from God to come into His kingdom. The purpose of salvation is for each to produce a life of obedience and holiness. And the basis of salvation is the purpose and grace of God, not anything you have done. And so Timothy's faith led to faithfulness in action, just like his mother's, just like his grandmother's. Now Timothy needed to fulfill the task before him. And he was to love, to suffer gladly the opposition, discipline to correct and warn the wayward and careless, and glorify Christ in all he did. If families are going to do well, moms are on the front line. I came across this piece. It's called A Mother's Legacy. It's from The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. This is the way it goes. Come with me to an old farmhouse where a mother kneels in prayer. Tears flow as she cries out to God for strength to go on, for the sake of her three little ones. If only her husband would be a godly man and a spiritual leader. Although he provides the material needs of his family, his neglect of their emotional and spiritual needs is a burden that threatens to crush her. The flame of faith burns feebly tonight, and she feels like giving up. Is the struggle worth it? Go with me 50 years later to a softly lighted chapel where the woman's wasted body now lies in a coffin. Her children, adults now, speak reverently of the mother who provided a guiding light through their formative years, drawing them to their own faith in her Savior. A score of young Christian men and women look lovingly on their grandmother's face. Tomorrow, her grandsons will carry her to her grave. Tomorrow, they will sing of a praying mother and a grandma who loved Jesus. Was the struggle worth it? My imagination pushes the fast-forward button of time, and another 50 years slip by. In my mind's eye, I see another coffin in the chapel, not my grandmother's, but mine. The little ones that snuggle in my arms today will then be grown men and women with families of their own. What will the picture look like? Today, I am painting that picture of tomorrow. Today, the colors are wet in my hands, but tomorrow they will have dried. What kind of legacy will I leave? So, ladies, men, it may be Mother's Day, but let me tell you, this message is for all of us. What are you giving your children to build their lives on? Remember, more of life is caught than taught. So what are your kids going to catch? Are they going to catch what it looks like for a life lived out following Christ? Are they going to see what it means to be a true believer? How many of you sang the last line of the chorus of that first hymn this morning? Did you catch that? How many of y'all sang that last line of that first hymn of the chorus? Did everybody sing it? His faithful follower I would be. How many of us lied about it? If we want godly children, we need to live a godly life. If we want a culture, a society, a church, a school, if we want anything around us to be what God intended for it to be, then you need to live a godly life today. Do you have that real, consistent, obedient to Scripture relationship with Christ? Or are they seeing the definition of a hypocrite, a person who says and does one thing at a church but quite the opposite at home? the example that you set, the faith that you live, does more to train a child in the way they should go than words ever will. Than words ever will. So what are you allowing your children to catch? Are you allowing them to catch you reading your Bible? Are you allowing them to catch you praying? Do they hear you pray? Do they see someone in you that loves Christ more than anyone or anything else? Are you doing what mothers should do? Not only should mothers give children a foundation of faith, they should give their children encouragement. By word and deed, show all who come after you what it means to live for Jesus. Timothy was at this low point. And when he and Paul parted ways, Timothy was in tears, not only, I guess, for Paul leaving, but it was maybe being overwhelmed by the fact that now he was on his own. And so Paul writes to encourage him, and he says to Timothy to kindle afresh the spiritual gift. Well, I don't know if you've ever really built a fire much or tried to heat your home with fire, but there are two things critical to a good, hot, burning fire, and that's fuel and wind. Put fuel for that spiritual fire into your life. Put fuel of God's Word. Put the fuel of time spent with Him. And then that allows the Spirit, the wind, the Spirit of God to come in and fan that flame up. And that's what he's saying to Timothy, and that's what I want to encourage you to do for your families, is to fan the flame, not only for your life, but for theirs. Paul was encouraging Timothy to be all that God had planned for him to be. And moms, isn't that what you want for your kids? So prayer would be involved. Knowing and obeying God's word would be involved. An act of faith would be involved. Verse 7 is a verse that every mother ought to know and teach their kids. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and a sound mind. There is so much about life that we just look at and we're afraid of. We're afraid that we're not capable. We're afraid of being overwhelmed. And Paul says to Timothy what every one of us needs to hear, that we have not been given that spirit of timidity, of fear, but of power and a sound mind. So go for God's glory. Verse 8 ought to be seen and used as an encouragement to children. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then Paul urged Timothy to three basic loyalties: to Christ and the gospel, to Paul, to him, and to Timothy's own ministry. Moms, urge your family to be loyal. To Christ, to family, and to serving Christ as a friend to others. In a cartoon some time back, the little guy was taking heat from his sister over his newfound calling. His newfound calling was patting birds on the head. It was Peanuts. It was Linus and whatever, Lucy. Well, Lucy came up to Linus and said, "What is going on? What are you doing?" The little birds would approach and the boy would pat him on the heads. The birds would sigh deeply and march away satisfied and encouraged. "Why? Why are you doing this?" she wanted to know. And he said, "Well, what's wrong with patting birds on the head? No one else does it. So if you're an encourager, keep it up, because nobody else is encouraging your family to live for Christ out in the world." I worked for a district manager at Walmart who never told you if you did anything right. He only told you what you did wrong. And sometimes we parents can be that way. And we ought not be that way. Do you ever say to your kids, even when they disappointed you, even when they misbehaved, even when they messed up in some way, "You can do better"? That's better than saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You can do better. Do you ever say to your kids, I'm proud of you? Do you ever say to your kids, I'm pleased with you? I made it a point to begin that with my kids. And I will continue to say that to them as adults, because I am still involved in setting the arc of their lives. And I don't care if you're a great-grandmother, 13 times over by the end of the year, you're still involved in setting your children's and your grandchildren's and your great-grandchildren's arc of their life. Give them encouragement. Give them encouragement. Do you know how many positive comments you have to make to a person to overcome one negative? 5. So every time you say to your son or daughter whatever bad thing that you can say to them, you're stupid, you've got to say 5 good comments. And that works between adults too. Are you an encourager? Are you encouraging your family to find their worth as one created in the image of God? Are you encouraging them to find God's calling on their life, to fulfill it? Are you encouraging them to be a good part of society, respectful and polite? Are you teaching your children manners, your grandchildren manners? Are you doing what mothers should do? The last thing mothers should do is model for their children perseverance. Mom, show your kids what it looks like to never quit, never give up, and to always, 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 always live for Christ. Timothy, no doubt, had seen that perseverance modeled in his home. There's really not much comment in Scripture on Timothy's father. There's an allusion in Acts to him, and he didn't seem to be a believer. And so here's Eunice living in a home where the family split, and you know, one's following Christ and one's following himself. But he saw in his mom a woman, a person who was always going to live for Christ. Timothy did have Paul as an example as well. Paul had entrusted his life, his work, his energy, his time to God's work and the people he ministered to with the gospel. And he was not going to give up. He had made that decision. He had come to terms with all the things against him. And he said, I am not going to quit. I am not going to give up. And Paul urged Timothy then to lean on 2 things. The standard of sound words and the Holy Spirit. The standard of sound words for us is Scripture. We are to live on the standard, by the standard, for the standard, with the standard of sound words. Let me tell you, if you want to rationalize something, you can rationalize anything you want. And so we need to look at Scripture and say, there's our standard. And then the Holy Spirit, that God's power, God's presence is within us, that God is for us. He's not against us. And he said, hang on to those 2 things. Lean on the 2 things, the standard of the sound words and the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you, Paul set the bar high for Timothy and for us. And it was God's grace and God's power that carried Paul through, and it would do the same for Timothy. May your children say, I had the meanest mother in the world. This piece was written by a daughter who said, I had the meanest mother in the world. Listen to how mean this mother was. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, I had to have cereal, eggs, or toast. When others had Cokes and candy for lunch, I had to eat a sandwich. As you can guess, my supper was different than other kids also. But at least I wasn't alone in my sufferings. My sister and my 2 brothers had the same mean mother as I did. My mother insisted upon knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were on a chain gang. She had to know who our friends were and what we were doing. She insisted if we said we'd be gone an hour, that we'd be gone 1 hour or less, not 1 hour and 1 minute. We had to wear clean clothes and take a bath. The other kids always wore their clothes for days. We reached the heights of insults because she made our clothes herself just to save money. The worst is yet to come. We had to be in bed by 9 each night and up at 8 the next morning. We couldn't sleep till noon like our friends. So while they slept, my mother actually had the nerve to break the child labor law. She made us work. We had to wash dishes, make beds, learn to cook, and all sorts of cruel things. I believe she lay awake at night thinking up mean things to do to us. She always insisted upon our telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even if it killed us, and it nearly did. By the time we were teenagers, she was much wiser, and our life became even more unbearable. None of this tooting the horn of a car for us to come running. She embarrassed us to no end by making our dates and friends come to the door to get us. If I spent the night with a girlfriend, can you imagine? She checked on me to see if I were really there. I never had the chance to elope to Mexico. That is, if I'd had a boyfriend to elope with. Through the years, things didn't improve a bit. We could not lie in bed sick like our friends did and miss school. If our friends had a toe ache, a hangnail, or other serious ailment, they could stay home from school. My mother was a complete failure as a mother. Out of four children, a couple of us attained some higher education. None of us have ever been arrested, divorced, or beaten his mate. Each of my brothers served his time in the service of this country. And whom do we blame for the terrible way we turned out? You're right, our mean mother. But look at all the things we missed. We never got to march in a protest parade, nor to take part in a riot. Did you see the video of the lady in Baltimore? She forced us to grow up into God-fearing, educated, honest adults. And using this as a background, I am trying to raise my children. I stand a little taller and am filled with pride when my children call me mean because, you see, I thank God He gave me the meanest mother in the world. I think I know that lady. Moms, dads, ladies, men, are you showing children what a life looks like faithful to Christ and the truth? Have you set a high standard for yourself and your family and then you're living it out? Let me tell you, the lower standard you set, the less you're going to get. Let me say that again. The lower standard you set, the less you'll get. So, what are you showing your family about what it means to, or how you handle adversity, or setback, or disappointment? Do you give up, or do you go on? Are you showing them how one leans on the Lord? Are you showing your family, are you showing your community, your church, what it means to live for Christ? All of us are challenged by this message. I tailored it to mothers, but all of us are challenged by this message. Are you showing your family, are you showing others what it looks like to have a sincere faith? Are you modeling for them encouragement? Are you encouraging them and encouraging their godliness? And are you modeling perseverance?